thankful tonight that God is lengthening out my life and give me an opportunity. I know there's just a few of us here tonight, but I'm going to tell you something that ought to be heart-cheering to us. You're here. God is ever-present. So it's not about someone else. It's about you and God. It's an individual thing.
Absolutely.
It's not about the multitude that come with you.
That's right.
Or the multitude that assembles together when you get there. This worship of God is between you and God.
Absolutely.
Individually. Brother Jim, we got to go for ourselves. We got to worship God for ourselves. We got to shine the light that others may see your good works.
Amen.
And glorify your Father which art in heaven. So tonight we don't know what God holds in store for us from one day to the next, Brother Lon.
That's right.
We live today. The Lord told us to take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow will take thought for itself. For sufficient is the day, is the evil thereof. So we can't change one cubic of our height or one hair from our head. Keep it from falling or from numbering it. But we got to trust God, brethren, tonight, who's able to not only number the hairs of your head, but he takes notice for every little sparrow that will fall to the ground. God's eyes everly beholds these things. I know sometime I talk of this God and I stress so much how that we need to reverence him and understand how great he is and how small we ought to see ourselves as the writer. And how do you know these things? I know it in one sense from the heart, but on the greatest word that was ever spoken, was ever given to mankind, was written in the lids of this book. And my God said that he sets upon the circle of the earth, beholding the habitation as grasshoppers. God is so great that he declares the beginning unto the end and knows our thoughts afar off. And I think sometime, God, Lord, please, let me have clean thoughts.
Yes.
Give me, as the writer of old had said, create in me a clean spirit, a righteous spirit, and a clean heart. Only God can cleanse our heart tonight. Only God can cleanse us and make us ever whit whole. Though, he the writer said, though that your sins be as scarlet, yet he can make them white like wool.
Sir.
Though your sins be red like crimson, he can make them white like snow. God is the only God, the only wise, the only almighty, omnipotent, the one that declares the beginning unto the end. And beside him we can do nothing. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are the sheep of his pasture, and he is the great shepherd. He's the shepherd of the sheep. He said, Brother Greg, when he come, that he would come and scatter the shepherds. He scattered them apart, but he gathered them back together in the one. I am the one shepherd and one sheepfold. Brethren, as I think of the Word of God and all of its goodness, brethren, I think how God looked down through time and how Israel, brethren, the 12 tribes of Israel, how they split themselves apart, and some don't understand, brethren. How did the north and the southern kingdom come into play, brother? I long just for a minute of time. Maybe I can shine a little light to the help of the Lord tonight. God, brethren, told. Told David that he, David, brethren, committed one sin, the other than the one sin that really displeased God when he had Uriah killed. David's heart was perfect with God, brethren, and so the night, brethren, out of David come a man named Solomon through. Bathsheba, brethren, tonight, and we see, brethren, now I'm just going to take my time, if you will, brethren, and try not to get ahead of the Lord tonight. So, brethren, and then Solomon, in his reign, brethren, when David died, Solomon took over the reign and became king, brethren. Listen tonight, and the children of Israel was a multitude of people that spread out over the land, brethren, and Solomon, seeing, brethren, how great a people they were, Solomon began to pray, brethren, oh God, tonight, give unto me wisdom, give unto me knowledge and understanding that I might know how to go in and go out amongst them. Such a great people as them. And God, God said, Solomon, because you've not led the life of your enemy, Solomon, because you've not led silver and gold, Solomon, because you've not led full length of daylight. Solomon, I'm going to give you wisdom and knowledge, brother, and not only wisdom and knowledge, I'm going to give unto you, listen tonight, brother, I'm going to give you riches, silver and gold, brother, and the wealth of Solomon was great. Brethren, that all that in the country, brethren, listen, they heard of Solomon, brother, even to his own people, there was a woman, brother, there was two women in that land, brother, and here and there was a time, must have been a time of famine, listen today, brother, friend, and they made a league with one another and began to say, the day we're going to boil my son and eat him. Listen the day, brother. What do you think about that? And tomorrow we'll eat your son. Listen the day, brother. And I thought of that instant and thought, what kind of a mind did it take to do that? Burn the day. And the king at that time rent his clothes, brother, and began to cry. But Solomon, brother, that man might know the wisdom that he had. There was two other women. Listen, the one overlaid her son while she slept, and the other trading the live out with the dead baby. And they brung, and they come unto Solomon. Listen, the night the woman has taken my child. This is her child, and he is dead. Solomon said, bring me a sword tonight. Listen, divide the children in half. Divide them in half, listen. Brother, and he brung the sword, and he said, divide the child. And the mother of the child cried out, oh, King, don't divide the child. Give it unto her tonight. Oh, listen, brother, the mother's love tonight. There's no love like the mother's love. There's no love like the woman that bore her. There's a difference from a mother. And listen, just a woman tonight. The woman, the Bible said, will a woman forsake her suckling child? And Jesus said, yea, they may forsake their suckling child. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you in the sixth trouble. I'll not leave you, no, in the seven. No, brother, this is the wisdom that Solomon had. Listen, he said, the mother is the true mother is this woman here, because her bound yearned for her son and didn't want to see it divided. No, Solomon had wisdom, brother, like none other on the earth. God, give him riches. God, give him authority, brother, that the Queen of Sheba come to see.
Yeah.
What kind of a man is this? I've heard the fame of Solomon. Oh, I've heard in my country that thy servants, they are happy. I've heard the fame that you are rich. I come to see for myself. And she began to testify and say, listen, thy servants is happy. All thy soldiers and them that's around you, they're happy. And the riches is far beyond the mind. Listen tonight, brother. She testified, and the half has not been told. No, don't you ever think that we don't even tell the half about Jesus. We try our best sometimes to live our lives in a manner, Brother Lon, to show people how great a riches I have. What great riches I have in my heart. Great wealth I have in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. But I can't even tell the half of it. Listen, so let our light shine that men can see the good works. Glorify your Father in heaven. But Solomon, brother, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Listen tonight. And here was the problem with Solomon. His heart was not perfect with God, because he went after the wives, their idol gods, and made them high places. And God despised him, brother. God told Solomon, I'll rend the kingdom out of your hand, but not out of thy hand, but out of thy son's hand. So the night here, here we're looking and seeing. The night, Brother Solomon, brother lived out his days and ruled and reigned, brother, and had a son named Rehoboam, brother. Listen, the night, Solomon died. Rehoboam took over the kingdom, brother, and began to reign. I'm going to tell you, when God promised something, it's going to come to pass. This nation we're living in, God said, every nation that forgets God will be cast into hell. And that hell thou is suffering, brother, in the night. And God is not going to repent. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. And God told Solomon, I'll reign the kingdom out, not out of thine hand, but out of thy son's hand. But I'll not utterly rule and rule and take it away from him, brother. Rehoboam began the reign, brother, and God brought a man named Jeroboam in that land, brother. And listen, listen the night, and the people gathered around and come unto Rehoboam and asked him a little question. Your father made our your father made us grievous, and all the burdens and everything that he'd done. What sayest thou? And he got the counsel of the old men. The old man, listen, you better take heed who you're taking counsel from. The old man said, if you'll take these people and serve them, they'll be your servants forever. Listen, Rehoboam, he didn't take the counsel of the old. He took the counsel of the young men that he grew up with.
Yeah.
And they said, my little finger, he told them, he said, my little finger is going to be thicker than my father's thigh. Listen the night, brother. And he left the counsel of the old men. Aging ought to teach wisdom, brother. Listen the night, but the old is not always wise. So the night God sent a man named Rehoboam there, that the old prophet caught him in the wilderness and tore his garment, and brother, that it was torn in 12 pieces. Listen, that Rehoboam began. Listen, the children of Israel split, and they was two tribes staying here, and Judah and Benjamin, brother, all 10 tribes, they scattered them out, brother, and went down into Samaria with Jeroboam. Now I'm getting to something here. I know this is probably a little boring for a lot of people, but this there's a great message in this. If you can only see it tonight. Here was Judah. Here was Benjamin up here, and it was well known throughout the days of the Bible days as the northern and the southern kingdom. And Jeroboam, listen the night, be reign with 10 tribes, brother. Listen the night, friend the night. And the writer said in the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, there was two nations, there was two kingdoms. Brother, why was they two kingdoms? You see why these two kingdoms? Because Rehoboam stayed with the house of Judah. He had the house of Judah, and he had Benjamin seated himself with them. Rehoboam took 10 tribes and went down into Samaria, and they worshipped idol gods. And they committed sin, and it's an abomination unto God. And Rehoboam, in the process of time, didn't do no better, brother. He began to worship idols. And they went away from God. And God, brethren, today, listen today. He said that there was two kingdoms. They became two kingdoms, two nations. And he told the prophet, he said, to take ye two sticks and ride upon the one for Judah and his companions and the house of Israel. And take ye another and ride upon it for Joseph and for Ephraim and for the children of Israel. And put them together that they may become one in thy hand. Then we find and we understand how they were split apart. When was they ever going to be brung together again? When was the night of the day going to come, Brother Jim, when they can say we are one? They had split and scattered themselves under evergreen tree, the writer said. They committed adultery and fornication. And he told the writer and told Hosea, he said, you tell your mother she's not my wife and I'm not her husband for the whoredoms and the adulteries that she committed. And God had given her a bill of divorcement because of all the sins that she'd done. But the Bible said, brethren, listen, he said the law was not going to depart from Judah. You know why I wasn't going to depart? For God had promised David. David, I always have a seed to reign upon the throne of David. Brother, God has got a plan, brother. And he was going to bring it to pass.
Yes, he is. He sure is.
Praise the Lord.
The law shall not depart from Judah, nor lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So the night, brethren, did Shiloh ever come. Brethren, John, come out of the wilderness preaching, brother. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And they said, John, are ye the light? Are ye the one to come? John said, no, I'm not him. Some said John was that Shiloh. John said, no, I'm not him. I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare you the way of the Lord and make his path straight, brother. There's one cometh after me whose shoelaces I'm not worthy to bow down and unloose. He it is will baptize you with the fire and the Holy Ghost. Jesus, when he came, brethren, listen, he told the disciples to go not in the way of the Gentiles, go not in the way of Samaritans. I wonder why he didn't go to the Samaritan's house. Go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So the night, brethren, He said, when I the time come, Jesus said, it's needful that I go up through Samaria. Brethren, in the time come, that he began to walk up through Samaria and come to a little place where a well was. About noonday. Sit down on the side of the well. Little woman come up there and begin to say, listen and hear. And she was going to draw some water. And Jesus said, give unto me. Boy, why are you asking me? Drink of water, sin. I am a Samaritan. Jesus said, if you'd have known who it was, you would ask of me. I would have given unto you living water.
Amen.
Oh, she said, evermore give it unto me. Evermore give it unto me. Oh, now, brethren, there's a great big argument amongst the brethren. Did she get the water? Did she get it? I'm trying to draw you a picture here. You remember them 10 tribes? Where did they go to? Huh? There's a great story here. There's not a story, there's a great truth here, brother. And I want you to see this. I want you to see this. I want you to get your eyes, your understanding open here tonight. We're talking about a kingdom that was going to be set up where two would become one. So 10 tribes was gathered down in Samaria. Amongst other places, he'd scattered them. And this little woman began to say, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. All his son tonight, brother and I, he said, go call thy husbands. Well, I have none. You've said right, you have none. You've had five, and the one you have now is not your husband. Only son tonight, brother and soul, brother, and she said, our father Jacob, give us all this well. Why was her father Jacob, seeing she was a Samaritan? You ever ask yourself that question? A little simple when you get the history of it, ain't it? She come out of that lineage. They was a-looking for the promise. Though many of them, they'd went after idol gods, they'd served idols throughout the land, brother, and they'd worshipped idol, but they were still looking for the Messiah to come. And she said, our father Jacob had given this well and drank thereof. But Jesus said, you ask of me, I would give you living water. Evermore, give me this water, brother. And she went away to the city, begin to testify. We heard you tell. I heard your testimonies about Jesus. She began to testify. Come see a man. Told me all things that I ever done. Is this not the Christ? Is this not the one? Is this not the one that was prophesied of? And many of them that heard her believed because of the saying of the woman. Many of them come and heard him speak themselves and believed. Oh, brethren, tonight, sometime we testify of the Lord, and maybe you might persuade one, or maybe you might persuade one, but I'm going to tell you the Spirit of God is going to persuade many. Did she get the water? Well now, brethren, it's as simple as reading your Bible. If you ask, you're going to receive. She couldn't receive the water at the present time because the water had never been shed. But she got the same promise that them that kept the law of Moses all the way up. And the Bible said if they kept the law of Moses from year to year, brethren, they received the promise. And the promise was in that day, that living water would go forth from Jerusalem, half to the former seas and half to the hinder seas. In summer and in winter shall it be. Brother, I believe that the little woman at the well got the blood, brother, when it was shed on the cross, and living water went back to the former seas and the hinder seas. It was the coming in of the Samaritan house. Jesus told Peter there, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Listen, I'll give unto you, Peter, the keys to the kingdom. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he stood up and he began to preach, how many nations was there that day? Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. He gathered them together, brethren. He brought them back in. The 10 tribes, the two kingdoms, was going to become one. They that were scattered from the four winds of the heaven was going to become one in Christ. And he told Peter, he said, Peter, I'll give unto you the keys to the kingdom. And Peter began to preach on the day of Pentecost, not to all the Jews, but unto them, they was not all gathered there together that day, brethren. But as many as gathered together that day, and many as believed, received the Holy Ghost. And in the preaching of Peter, there was 3,000 added unto the church that day. Can you imagine preaching a message and 3,000 people was converted and born again? What a wonderful thought that would be. So Peter, brethren, when he began to preach Jesus unto them, and there come in many of the Jews. Brethren, I'm not going to try to take a lot more time here, but I want to get these keys out of what I believe and understand, Brother Jim, how God brung us all together. And then on the day of Pentecost, there was 16 or 17 different nationalities, devout Jews out of every nation under heaven where God had scattered them.
Yep.
Brung them back together. When the Holy Ghost come down, the kingdom come down in on that day and set upon each and every one of them. And you know what? He said it was spoken of by Joel the prophet in the last days. They pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters would prophesy. Your old men would see, would dream dreams. Your young men would see visions. That was the prophecy that was coming and being fulfilled in the key that Peter opened there on the day of Pentecost. And then in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, you know who was down there? Samaritans. Samaritan, the house of Samaria. Come in the 8th chapter. Philip began to preach unto them. And they received. They received the preaching of Philip because Simon the sorcerer had bewitched them for a long time with sorcery, brethren, and deceived them. Take heed that people don't deceive you through false teachings and through false jangles of this world today, brethren. But let us hold on to the truth as it is in Christ. But it was strange that they never received the Holy Ghost, did they? Until Peter and John come down.
Yeah.
Peter had the keys, brethren. Peter was the one that brung forth this Holy Ghost way. Peter was the one Jesus said, "Unto I'll give unto you the keys to the kingdom." And Peter, when he came down, he laid hands upon them. And brethren then prayed for them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And so the Samaritans, brethren, and they came in also. And then there was a people left behind called the Gentiles. That's me and you, brother.
That's right.
That's me and you.
That's us. That's right. Amen.
The 10th chapter of the book of Acts.
Yeah.
Let me draw this little picture for you here, and we'll soon come to a close. Peter was on a housetop. He was waiting while the food was being prepared. And he was went up there to pray. And while they was making ready, the Lord sent a great sheet as it had been netted at the four corners. He let it down, and in this sheet was all manner of beast and four-footed beast and fowls of the air. You know what they represented, brethren? You know what they represented? If you go to studying what these beasts represent in the Bible, it's nations and kingdoms. And all the people of the earth represented in there. You know what? The Samaritans was in there. The Gentiles was in there. And the Jews was in there. We was all in there. And he told Peter, "Peter, slay and eat." "Not so, Lord. I'm a Jew. I ain't about to go down around where them Gentiles is. They're a bunch of heathens. They're a bunch of dogs. And he ain't have nothing to do with them." That was how the Jews looked at the Gentile race of people. But God convinced Peter and said, "Peter, what I've cleansed, Peter, call thou not common or unclean. For when God cleans them up, don't you call them common or unclean. If a man comes here and says God saved him, believe he, take his testimony. You're not God. You can only look on the outside. God is the heart searcher and the rein trier." He said, I look on the inside. You just judge the outward appearance. So Peter, when he had two men at the door about the time at the end of this vision, knocking on the door. "Peter, come on. The Lord has sent us up here to get you." And God told Peter, go doubting nothing. But Peter doubted. He doubted. He got scared. Why? He took him 6 brethren with him. He got nervous because he knew them Jews was going to be on his back when he got down there and come back. So when he went down there, there was a great happening down there. Cornelius' alms had come up before God. And God sent Peter down there to preach unto him the way, the perfect way, which is Jesus Christ. He preached unto Peter there that day, brethren. And what happened? They received the Holy Ghost as well as we at the beginning. How did they know that? Because they spake with tongues and magnified God. What was it? How did they speak with tongues? Cornelius was of the Italian band.
Yeah.
Well, the Italians and the Jews and the language barrier of the Hebrew language there was a barrier there. The same miracle took place on the day of Pentecost when there were 17 different nationalities come together there. They all understood them in their tongue and in the language wherein they was born. Well, there on the day of when the house of Cornelius come in, the same miracle took place. And Peter said, seeing these have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, who can forbid water? Now, I'm going to tell you people, man comes up here and tells you that God saved him, who can forbid water?
That's right.
Seeing God's cleaned him up.
Yeah.
And Peter, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Then he went back to the brethren. And I'm going to get this. I'm watching the time, brother. I'm not going to worry yous all night. I can get on some of these subjects and carry yous on a long time. I just wanted to bring this thing out tonight to let you see a little of this. But Peter, when he come back to the Jews' house, and there's no doubt they had them a little gathering there. Peter, give an account of what you've been doing. Why did you go down there to them Gentiles? And Peter began to say, Peter began to rehearse how God was no respecter person. How he showed him this thing and how they received the Holy Ghost. He said, as well as we at the beginning.
At the beginning.
What? At the beginning. Where? The day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost at the beginning. So they received and they was glad that God had granted repentance unto the Gentile.
Yeah.
So there was the Jews, the house of Samaria, and the Gentile race. But that wasn't finished yet, brother. Did you ever read the book of Romans? How many of you really look in the book of Romans? You ever find a bunch of Jews in the book of Romans that didn't want to turn loose of the law? Well, that's who he was talking about. God provoked Israel to jealousy by a nation that was not a nation. And when God let the Gentiles in, he provoked many of them Jews that they would come back. And God opened the door unto them that they would all come in and be what? Comes right back to the whole thing, brother. One fold and one shepherd. So two kingdoms, two nations was not going to be two no more. Once two sticks was going to become one. Two kingdoms was going to become one, and people still looking for a kingdom to come. Daniel said, in the days of these kings shall the Lord God of heaven set up a kingdom.
Yeah.
Not two or three, brother. He brung those two kingdoms together and set it up on himself. The one true foundation. In the Bible, Paul made it very plain. No other foundation can any man lay, that which is already laid. Jesus Christ and the apostles, and Jesus being the chief cornerstone, he is the foundation. He is the kingdom, brethren. Listen to what Jesus said. If it's don't tie and nail your shoe bottoms to the floor, I don't know what will. Jesus said, as my Father appoint unto me a kingdom, I also appoint unto you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. If you've been born again, you're in his kingdom.
Yeah.
And his kingdom is the body of Jesus Christ. That's what his kingdom is, brother. It's the body of Jesus Christ, members in particular, yet there will be many members, yet they are one body.
One body. One body.
One body. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one by the one Spirit are you all baptized into that one body. One kingdom, brother. I'm the one kingdom man. Don't you never doubt that. People is a teaching that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Well, I want you to look in the Bible and find me one scripture from the book of Acts to the book of Revelation that the kingdom of heaven was ever mentioned again. Find me one. Never the kingdom of heaven, when the law come to an end, the kingdom of heaven was never mentioned again. He said he came and delivered out of his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, everything that offend and abound. Well, when did he come and deliver out of that kingdom, brother? Satan was, when the children of God presented himself under the law, take guess who appeared, presented himself also. He was right there and sat down beside him. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus died on the cross and brought this kingdom into the hearts of man, he came and delivered out of his kingdom everything that offend and abound, and that kingdom became one, brethren. It became one in him. And I know they're trying to teach all this thing is contrary to this. They take one chapter in the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter, they cannot understand, and they telescope one little chapter they cannot see and forget about all these other scriptures I've been talking about tonight. They forget about all this that Jesus spoke about, how it would be set upon him, how all the gathering together would come into one in him. We're not looking for a kingdom to come. We're looking for that kingdom to go home with that God.
Yeah,
I'm going to give you one scripture. Now Yeshua brought them down here. He said, in whom the whole family. You know what a whole means, brother?
Everybody.
Does that mean all?
Everybody.
In whom the whole family, both in heaven and in earth, is named.
Yeah. All of it.
Part of it's here. Part of it's over there. But yet one. You can't divide God, brother. You can't divide God. Where is God? Is he not?
Omnipresent.
Omnipresent.
That's right. That means everywhere, don't it?
Everywhere, brother. Everywhere. The writer said, though I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part, the Lord's there. Though I make my bed in hell, the Lord is there. You can't. You tell me, he fills all space. The writer said that he spake and the eternity was filled with his voice. You think about that. That was a poet wrote that. Said eternity was filled with his voice. And his voice was heard up on the horns of the unicorn.
Yeah.
That's scripture, brother. I like this one here. He said, talked about the sun. He said, there is no place where their voice is not heard. Light answereth unto light, day unto day, night unto night. There is no place where their voice is not understood. This is God's work, brethren.
Yeah.
This is the handiwork of God that set the heavens He said in the heavens was the handiwork of God.
Yeah.
This little trinket works, this universe, and this little speck of dust called earth, setting upon nothing. Setting upon nothing. He said the writer said he hung it upon nothing.
Where was you, Job?
I like that one there.
Yeah.
I love Job's writings. Where was thou, Job? He asked Job this question, and Job put his hand over his mouth. He said, I'll not speak no more. Where was thou, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth and hung the earth upon nothing? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Where was thou, Job? He said, I'll answer not. I'll put my hand over my mouth. I'm not going to. How can mortal man commune with God? How can we say unto God, why done ye this? How can the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why make ye me? That'd be like my truck talking to me tonight. What'd you drive me over here for?
Kick his tires to do that.
Do I not have power to drive it or to leave it set? That's the way God is with you people.
Yeah.